Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Psalm 119 is a powerful chapter in the book of Psalms that is an acrostic of the Hebrew 22 letters of their alphabet, and it's got 176 verses. So there are 22 strophes, if you will, 8 verses in each category. And the first category I call the Holy Way. And verse number 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Now, when you look at Psalm 119, you're going to see the word law, you're going to see commandments, you're going to see precepts, you're going to see testimonies, you're going to see statutes. These are various aspects of the Word of God. When you think about the law or the Torah, it encompasses all of the law. It's a generalization of everything that the law covers from A to Z. When you think about statutes, these are specific laws. Usually they have a certain time stamp on them. Say, for instance, you may have to pay a debt for 3 months, or you are to sow a certain field for 30 days. That would be a statute. And the precepts of the Lord are the very specific areas of the law, like the Ten Commandments. Those would be precepts, or a more honed in or zoomed in on area of the law. And again, the law is the total generalization of all the things that God desired for his people, morally, civilly, legislatively, when it comes to all of the law, A to Z. And so starting this off, David is saying, "Blessed are the undefiled." Undefiled is untainted. Now, that doesn't mean untempted. It just means untainted. It means that given a chance to go the course of blame, they keep the cause of the Word of God. They stay the course. They don't get off track to run after some treacherous thing. They are not going to be driven away by false doctrine. They are not going to be wooed by seducing spirits, because they have a heart that is without blemish. They have a sincerity that has no stain on it. And they walk in the way of the Lord. That means they are going according to the map of the Word of God. They are living according to the instructions of the Lord, not just off of temporary inspiration, because feelings can be fleeting. Feelings can be deceptive. But in the kingdom of God, as we know, it's faith first, feelings secondarily. And so when you live with your life rooted and founded and directed and discerned by the Word of the Lord, then you're going to keep that course. That course keeps you from the curse of darkness. That course keeps you from the compromises of the world. That course keeps you from making wrong considerations when you're looking at options, or maybe it's to the right or to the left, and you could veer off in a certain direction or take a deceptive or even demonic detour. But blessed are the undefiled. Oh, that we could have such a heart that was so pure to the Lord that not only would it be free of the shame and the guilt and the condemnation and accusatory things of the world, but that it would be totally one with the Lord. Then the next verse says, Psalm 119:2, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that trust him with the whole heart." So you're going to keep the testimonies of the Lord. These are the things that matter to God. These are the things that bear witness of God in our lives. If you think about it, we live as representatives to a chaotic world. We can bring peace to pandemonium, and we can bring truth to areas of the world that are living in such societal oblivious and demonic behavior. They're giving themselves over to the beggarly elements of the flesh, whether it be drug addiction, whether it be dangerous, adventurous behavior, whether it be throwing themselves to the caution of hell, so to speak. When you trust in the testimonies of the Lord, that means that you believe the witness of his word. You believe that everything that is written in that Bible is not just a matter of historical record, but it's a relationship book. It's a romantic text. It is something that the Lord has designed to be not only for his disciples, but to be for that true bride, that church of the living God. And so to live for God after his testimonies is to believe that his witness is true. Yes, he is the God that divided the waters at the Red Sea. Yes, he is the God that did miraculous things like feeding multitudes with a few loaves and fish. But beyond all of that, it is more than a religious exercise, or it is more than a memorandum on long ago manifestations of the Spirit, but it is that daily excitement and devotion to know that we trust in the Lord because we believe his word. We trust in the Lord because he has proven himself faithful to us in other historical settings. So you can reach back and pick out that God file where the Lord has ministered to you before, where he has shown you mercy before, where he has revealed to you that he is a forgiving God, but he is also an empowering spirit that is not only able to encourage us, but he's able to equip us so that we can be keepers of his testimony. So I'm not just taking an occasional glance at it and having a distant admiration of it. I can do that with sightseeing of certain world-class tours when I go traveling. But when I think about the things of God, I don't want it to just be a sightseeing tour. I want it to be an up-close and personal relationship. I want it to be a place that I dwell. And this is the heartbeat. And the scripture says, who also do no iniquity, in verse 3, they walk in his ways. So again, this is establishing a hunger, a desire, a passion, a drive, an ambition to be on the course of the kingdom, to live in the pathways of the principles and the promises of Almighty God. And iniquity, as we know, is lawlessness. So when you live for God with a desire to walk in his ways, then you're not looking for, you know, the off ramp. You're not looking for Rebellion Avenue. You're not looking for the trails that go off in some adventurous and sinful environment. But you're saying, I want to stay in the ways of the Lord because I want my actions to testify that I trust the Lord. I want my actions to tell the world I believe the witness of the Bible. I believe the Bible is true, and I'm going to live my life behaving according to that text. Then the next verse says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Now think about the word diligent. That's not half-hearted. That doesn't mean that you show up when you want to, but you have a sense of duty. The disciple of the Lord cannot just live off of the sensations of the Spirit. And it's wonderful to be in the presence of God, to feel the fire fall, the exhilaration when the choir sings, the excitement of expressive services where the power of God moves, where we dance in the Spirit, where we clap our hands, where we sing the songs of Zion, if you will, with great enthusiasm and with great energy. But beyond that, there must be a sense of duty. There must be discipline to truly be a disciple of the Lord. And so that you, when you understand this, you realize that there is a diligence. There is more than just motivation or the potential to do something, but there's follow through. There's action. I mean, you think about so many things in our lives that slip through our fingers because we didn't devote the time to it, or we didn't have the sincerity to follow through with it. And when you get a love for the Word of God and you have a deep relationship with God, you don't settle for the shallow places. You don't settle for just decent church or even just the average moves of God, if you will. You come hungry and thirsty and passionate for the presence of God, and you do that on a consistent basis. You persist through the storm, knowing that the foundation of your faith is the Word of God, and you're not just going to keep the precepts because you have a mental understanding of them or an educational comprehension of them, but because you have a deep-hearted, deep-rooted experience with God. You've had an encounter with the Lord where Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not just religious thoughts from the mind, not just educated opinions or commentary about certain contexts of the Bible developed in the mind, but out of the belly. That comes from the depth of the soul. That comes from the heart of the experience. And so when you think about keeping his commandments, you're doing it with character. You're not just doing it with a sense of, well, I feel like that's what I ought to do today. But, you know, your feelings could change tomorrow and you could decide something else is more important. But when you live with a certain sense of devotion and duty and discipline, then the demonstrations of God mean something even better. And so that's why he would go on to say in verse number 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Think about that. He's not just wanting to, you know, follow along according to his own instincts or his own feelings or his own guesstimations about which direction he should go. He wants to be directed by the Lord. Then he knows it's a sure direction. If the Lord tells you that you go down a mile, turn right, go down another half mile, turn left, and you go down about a half mile, you'll be at your destination. He is the most honest and integrity-filled GPS system in all of time and eternity because his word doesn't lie. And the promises of God are yea and nay. When he gives his word, God cannot break his vow. There is an immutability to his counsel. It is impossible for God to lie because God is truth. And so when David is saying, I want the Lord to direct my ways, it's taking the guesswork out of it, right? It's taking away the shrugged shoulders of, I wonder what I ought to do at this important juncture of my life or with this decision, because the word of God settles that decision for you. So then he goes on to say, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. You know what shame keys in on? It keys in on your failures. It keys in on rejection. And then it keys in on the fear that you're just going to continue to fail in a certain area. But what takes away shame is when we do all that God asks us to do. A lot of times the failures in our life are connected to follow through. We didn't follow through with all of the instructions. Maybe we did 3 out of the 4, or maybe we got 5 out of the 7 or 8 right. And we feel good about the things that we did accomplish. And yet, in our human condition, there is condemnation built into those things that we disobey when it comes to the Word of God, or those things where we let human will interfere into God's divine plan for our lives, or we put our 2 cents worth into it, and all of a sudden we're a day late and a dollar short because it just doesn't add up when you try to do it according to the human flesh. The New Testament says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Too many times we have things subtracted from us in our spirituality because we're trying to mount up some kind of fleshly ability or ingenuity or idea to fix something or to make something work. And in this sense, the simplicity of the Word of God is, when I have respect unto all thy commandments, when I understand that every verse in that Bible is written for my benefit, There's a verse for adversity, but there is also a verse that teaches me how to sacrifice my own pride to get my own rebellious attitude or rotten attitude out of the way, and to send up a sweet fragrance of sincerity and humility before the presence of God, because God resisted the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so to be in this place where you can trust the Lord and where you can treasure his truth, when you can keep the things of God, but not only keep them, by keeping them is how we become a conqueror over things that are trying to keep us. You know, that old devil is trying to keep us in the dark, but when we keep the commandments, we come out of darkness and step into marvelous light. This world is trying to keep us in a place of human opinion or atheistic ideas or humanistic engineering, telling us that we don't need God, but those things do not keep us. We keep the word of God, and therefore, as Romans tells us, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so David would go on to say in verse number 7, he would declare, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Now again, these first 8 verses under the Hebrew letter Aleph, these are dealing with the holy way. And when I keep the holy way, there is prosperity, there is success, there is an uprightness of heart, there is a true genuineness in how we praise the Lord. It's praise with purity. It's not perverted praise where we can applaud the Lord and then we go right back to a sinful lifestyle, or we go right back to a rebellious attitude, or we go right back to giving in to recurring temptations. But we are able to be overcomers. We are able to praise the Lord with a purity of spirit, with an uprightness of heart. And remember, uprightness means you're not bent over. You're not crippled in your faith. You're not the hunchback of Notre Dame, if you will. You're not just, you know, walking along with a lame faith and on crutches, depending on just things of the world to get you by on a daily basis. My friend, you know, self-help books can be okay to a degree, but there's not a greater self-help book than this Bible. What the Word of God is for us, it has everything that we need for body, soul, and spirit. We just have to activate it. But you can't activate it if you don't read it, if you don't internalize it, if we don't put it in our spirit and let it become a part of our daily lives. And then when you go to praise the Lord, when you go to lift up holy hands, as Apostle Paul said, that's what it'll be. It'll be holy hands, not heavy hands, because you got things that are, you know, kind of going on in your spirit and mind that's interfering with the inspiration of the Spirit, or trying to intercept the next instructions of the Lord that he wants you to do. And so you're getting rid of that shame. And you're getting rid of the false doctrines, or you're getting rid of the pretenses of the mind, body, and spirit. You're getting rid of the shame of the past and walking with uprightness of heart. It's standing straight up and walking with the true strength of the Spirit, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. He tells Apostle Paul that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so these are the things that we get when we walk in this holy way, and when we live according to the word of God. And so David would end this first strophe by saying, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. So David he's kind of in this desperate place that we can all get to, is, Lord, I want to be a keeper of thy word, but maybe there's a little bit of a fear that I might fail you in some way. But know my heart is wanting to do what is right, wanting to make true spiritual decisions, no matter what they might be. We're living in an hour where it's like pranksters that are switching around signs, and people think they're going down one particular street, and they realize they ended up at the wrong destination or can't find the address that they're looking for, because some pranksters changed up the signs. And of course, GPS systems help us better now, but think if you're in a remote area where your phone's not working, you're having to rely on false instructions. And that's the way things can be when you live according to the advice of the world, when you live according to certain ideas and concepts of the world. They may be secularly invented, and it might be good for certain things in the world, but it's not necessarily good for the child of God. And all of a sudden, you find yourself walking the wrong course because you didn't read the signs clearly. But the Word of God makes sure that the signs are clear, that the roads are not sabotaged, that the way of truth is preserved. And that's something that you can have confidence in. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, is a scripture we'll deal with later on in Psalm 119. But when you think about it, God has established his word from the very beginning. It's an everlasting word. It has eternal value. It's never going to depreciate. It's never going to be diminished. No matter how many new doctrines come along, you can't exchange what is totally pure. It would be like trying to settle for some cheap substitute, you know, that looks like gold or looks like a diamond, but it's a fake. And so many people are settling for fake religions because they end up going a human way, or they end up going hell's way, when the Word of God establishes that there is a holy way. And this is the way of truth. It's the way of great victory. It's the way of testimony. And no matter what trouble you may be facing today in your life, I pray that somehow the Lord could help you engineer in your mind an understanding to submit to the Lord, to trust in His Word, to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. Or maybe whatever's had you confused lately, or feeling worthless lately, or feeling like you're up against a wall that you can't break through and see a way around. But by the help of the Lord, He will show you His way when you renew those vows to the Lord, like these first 8 verses to say, I'm going to diligently keep your word. I'm going to diligently trust in your word. I'm going to live my life according to your testimonies. I want to be a witness that bears testimony of the word of God. I want to keep the ways of God diligently. That means I've got to put some thought and effort into it. And that no matter what you're facing, the power of God is going to help you through it today. And so I pray in Jesus' name, God give you strength to do what is right. God give you a directive mind and a determined spirit to stay on course no matter what you see, no matter what conflicts you face, in Jesus' name.
All of the times He's provided, the miracles, wonders, and signs. So I cannot give Him half of my worship, and that should be no surprise.
So ask me why I worship the way. That's the reason I
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.